Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. This is the show where we talk to the people behind the productivity. I'm your host, Eric Fisher. This week, I'm excited to share a conversation I had with Marilyn Paul, author of the new book, An Oasis in Time, How a Day of Rest Can Save Your Life. In this, we are talking about rest and renewal, about taking the weekend, about taking breaks, and not just the necessity of it, but some of the practical how-tos in order for you to not just be more impactful and effective during your on time by taking downtime or off time, but also slowing down in general in order to savor and place the highest priority on the most important things. This is a great companion episode to the recent podcast I did with Brooke McCallery. I know you're going to enjoy this. Before we get to that conversation, I want to say thank you to FreshBooks for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. You've heard me mention FreshBooks before. It is truly one of the best time-saving apps out there. One, because it's just ridiculously easy to use to create your online invoices and get paid faster. But two, because it helps you track your time on your projects so that when it comes time to create those invoices that are already quick and easy to do, you already have the information in front of you so you don't have to go digging for it. Not only that, but then you can see when your client has seen your invoice, so there's no more guessing games. And FreshBooks studied their users and has launched an all-new version of their cloud accounting software, redesigned from the ground up based on how their users were actually using it. So FreshBooks, now more than ever, is the simplest way to be more productive and organized, and most importantly, get paid quickly. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to my listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/to-do and enter Beyond the To-Do List in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's freshbooks.com/to-do and enter Beyond the To-Do List in the How Did You Hear About Us section to grab that 30-day unrestricted free trial. I'm telling you, if you do this 30-day trial, you are going to get paid more and faster, and it will then pay for itself for you to continue using FreshBooks moving forward. Thanks again to FreshBooks for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. And now, enjoy this conversation with Marilyn Paul. This week, it is my privilege to welcome to the show Marilyn Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So you have this really cool new book out called An Oasis in Time, How a Day of Rest Can Save Your Life. And for anybody who has heard that phrase, day of rest, often enough, especially in certain religious upbringings, there's a word that comes to mind. And I know you know all about that word. What's that word?
The word is Sabbath, but I use an oasis in time because there are lots of people out there who, when they hear the word Sabbath, they shut down. Mm-hmm. So I wrote the book to say, hey, there's something of value in here, but so let's not throw it out and let's learn how come people who observe a Sabbath are in such good shape.
So keep listening, even if you're opposed to that word, there's some meaning in that word. In fact, like, what does that word literally mean? What's the definition of that word? And then we can move on to what that encompasses.
So the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word lishbot or Shabbat, and it means stop. That's all it means. Stop.
I love that. It's like I see when you say that, I see it in all capital letters, like on a stop sign. Like,
yes.
You do this or you are breaking the law.
Exactly.
It's
one of the Ten Commandments. So I think what we learn from this is even 2,500 years ago, people had trouble stopping.
Which is interesting because you kind of think, well, what all did they have to do back then in terms of their life or their jobs or being online and going from place to place, you know, how different their lives were than ours, and yet they still had to remember to stop.
Exactly.
So stop for how long, though? I know traditionally a Sabbath is considered to be 24 hours, and what are we stopping exactly?
So what we're stopping is an orientation towards getting things done. We're stopping our focus on everyday living, whether it's work productivity or home productivity. The idea is to stop thinking about work, for example, or errands, and let our minds and hearts and souls calm down. And I say for people, try an hour. If an hour seems too long, try a half an hour. Stopping is not easy for people nowadays because we live in such a workaholic culture. So stopping takes practice. Think of it as a practice, not a one-time event.
It's something that you're practicing so that you can become better at doing it and really reap more of the benefits down the line. It's like, for example, if I were to say, be starting a new diet, not a fad diet or anything like that, but a new way of approaching the way that I'm eating, and yeah. I'm going to eliminate sugar. Long term, the benefits are huge. Short term, there's still benefit there, but you're going to be dealing with some of the sugar cravings. And so it's going to be harder at first, but long term, it could get to be really beneficial. Is that
kind of? That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is a great example. Short term, I say that people have the just one more thing syndrome. So let's say you say, I'm going to not touch, I'm on my Oasis in time this Sunday morning or this Saturday morning. So look, you think it's a weekend, I'm relaxing, but you wake up and say, I'm just going to check my phone. Oh, I forgot one thing. So then you do that. And then there's just one more thing. And I'm going to go out into the yard and say, I'm going to fix my wheelbarrow or whatever it is. There's always one more thing to do.
Yes. We're never lacking for the next task, really.
Never lacking for the next ask. And so we don't get to relax and just breathe and turn our attention to the magnificence of this planet. And one thing people don't often realize is that if you can't allow your mind to really relax, and sometimes that takes hours, we get into a habit of negativity. Even if you want to be very positive in your orientation, accidentally, because you're just streaming hormones that keep you going, you can get into a negative mindset even if you don't want to.
It makes me think of people who are on strength training regimens where, you know, for example, today would be arm day and the next day would be leg day, and they alternate and move through, you know, a schedule where you wouldn't think to do leg day 2 to 3 or 4 days in a row, and yet we do that to our body and our brain and even our relationships because we're not stopping.
Yes. So in my view, stopping is a practice. So then you say, okay, you don't just do it once or twice because it takes a while to get used to. And the way you do that is to get very determined to understand what the immense benefits are. Because it's, again, as I said, and you know, we all know it's hard to stop. So we need to understand the benefits.
Well, let's delve into that then, because I think that's one of the things that we've probably lost sight of along the way here. Even people who are better at this than others probably still don't understand how much better they could have it and how much more rested and just grateful they could feel. And not just feel, but like also just be, you know, and then taking that back into the work week. Not that that's the sole product of, you know, it, the reason to stop isn't to be better at when you're moving. It's to, it isn't. It really isn't. Even though this is a productivity show and I know people want me to say, hey, I'm going to learn to stop on the weekends so that I can be better during my work week. Now that will happen, but that's not the goal here.
True. I think the goal is to really enrich your life, your relationships, your knowledge of yourself, and your understanding of how to live well, which as Americans, often we think living well is accumulating more, although most of us actually don't believe that, we still accumulate a lot. We get more done. We're very happy to be very productive, but we also miss some key aspects of life.
So what does this look like for you? I mean, how do you stop? What are the benefits? How can you describe the benefits that you experience?
Okay, well, I'll just say a word or two about the benefits in general, and then I'll talk about the benefits for me and my family. The benefits in general, what we're seeing is an increase, for example, in loneliness. And you say, okay, well, so people are lonely. But what we're learning is that loneliness has health effects, quite negative. The most productive people are actually people who are connected. But we also see an increase in diabetes and pre-diabetes. Over 50% of us have one of those conditions. We're also suffering from depression. And I could go on and on with the challenges that we're facing, millions of us, partly because we are stressed. If you read the stress literature, stress leads to harm. So one reason why it's so good to stop for, let's just say, for an hour or two, my family and I stop for a day, partly because it's a day, as hard as it was for me to get. And I have to say, I myself am a workaholic by nature. I love to work. I love to get things done. I feel like sometimes I am most myself when I am on a roll for work. But that being said, I had gotten quite sick and graduate school and was struggling to get things done. And even getting sick did not stop me. I had a sort of an autoimmune virus. I still wanted to work all the time. And a friend of mine invited me to a Friday night Shabbat dinner. And of course I said, no, I'm too busy. Finally, I went, he asked several times. And when I got there, I experienced a type of peace and joy and harmony that I loved. It was not in any other part of my life. So I loved being there and I went home and went back to work. Over time, though, I went back several times and started to realize that this was a practice that I could bring into my life. So fast forward, I now have a husband and a 13-year-old son. And we all gather together on Friday night for a blessing to light candles. And it's in that moment, we have enough experience with this that we are turning off all our screens, even my teenager. And we turn to one another and we take a deep breath and say, the week is over. So at that moment, because our phones are off and our screens are off, we turn to one another. And for some weeks, we've been all moving so fast that we've barely said hello. We always have so much to do. And we have a wonderful meal. But I think some of the amazing time is the next day, when sometimes we go out into nature, sometimes we go to our synagogue. We're always finding people to share a wonderful lunch with. And to be honest, some moments are not that exciting. But I have a 13-year-old who sometimes won't talk to me. But the other week, I would say about 2 weeks ago, we were sitting in the living room and we just started to chat. What a gift to just sit with my boy and chat and find out what's happening. Neither of us had anything to do other than be with each other.
That's great. I love hearing that. That's one of those things that makes me think the purpose of it is not to, although it does, you know, re-energize and recharge you for doing work, that it also, the stopping helps you to appreciate what you have and really focus in or refocus again over and over once a week on what's most important.
So true. And it's very easy to lose track of what's most important. And I follow a number of productivity experts because that's part of my interest. And people keep saying, first things first, do what's most important, focus on your priorities. But as our minds speed up, what we often turn to is just doing the next thing, whatever's in front of us, doing that, getting that checked off. And we miss because our executive function is not engaged. We forget what's most important.
I'd like to take a quick break to say thank you to another supporter of this episode of Beyond the To-Do List, ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you know that a quality hire keeps your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find that right candidate. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then, ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post to ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/beyond. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beyond to try out ZipRecruiter for free. Thanks again, ZipRecruiter, for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. So is there a ritual or a way of transitioning from the work week into, you know, I know you're taking a full day. If somebody is taking even just 1 hour to start practicing stopping, how would you suggest they go about doing this?
So first of all, the most important thing I think is to set aside time, mark the time in your calendar. Let's say it's an hour, and let's say it's Friday from 5 to 6, for example. Some people may say that's preposterous, but pick an hour, or Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. What I recommend to people is that the hour before that, use it to write down what you haven't gotten, to finish up a few burning items, and prepare yourself to stop. And Cal Newport, who wrote a wonderful book called Deep Work, has this phrase called shut down complete. And he uses that at the end of his day. And he's a wonderful model for not taking work home. His day is over. And I like that idea of finding a ritual way to shut down your work mind, even for an hour. So that involves making a list of things you haven't gotten to, perhaps looking ahead to see what you need to prepare for, write it down, and consciously stop. And what you can tell yourself at that point is, I'll come back to it. If I'm not done, I'll come back to it. And that's what I always say to myself on Friday afternoon as I'm doing my shutdown. There are many Friday afternoons when I say, okay, I'm shutting down, but I'll come back later. Even though I know that my mind needs the rest, I say to myself, if I have to, I'll come back later. I never do, because as I calm down, I see that those fires I was putting out, if I leave them alone, they go out by themselves. They become less important. And so that's what I say to people. Remind yourself that as important, but not a priority, these are the sort of burning low priority issues. As important as it seems, it's time to stop.
That's great. I love that idea of certain fires going out of their own accord.
Like, yes.
You know, kind of like you would let you sit and watch the fire slowly go down by itself, and you don't have to go spray water on it. You can walk away, or you can leave it alone, and it's good.
Eric, I think a lot of our work fires are because people are stressed and upset. We're upset with each other, or we're stressed out about something, or we made a mistake, or we did an error because we weren't paying attention. So if we can walk away, really reduce the stress, and then you say, well, what do you do for that hour? You do something you love, or you do self-care, or you connect with a pet or a child or a beloved, and your physiology immediately starts to shift.
I think it always has to do with relationship, that downtime. It's either with another person or it's with yourself, really, right?
Or it's with yourself. And for some people, it's with their sense of purpose or their sense of a higher power. But as you shift into low gear, you slow down, and within minutes, you can see, you know, I was fussing about something that is not important.
I wish I could learn that lesson. I feel like I'm trying to teach it to my kids, and yet I'm like, yep, I still don't do that as well as I should.
As much as we can teach our kids that focusing on each other and enjoying being human together, kids, what I heard, the kids under 17 or so are part of what's called Generation I for iPhone. They're on screens way too much, and they don't know how to live their life without a screen. So I didn't realize this at the time when my son was born. I didn't know this would be such an issue. But he is 24 hours off a screen every week without question.
That's great. I, as a parent of a 12-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old, as of literally today, 6-year-old son, yeah, that screen time can be a little bit daunting, and you almost become, I don't know, passive with it. Not passive per se, but you just keep thinking, well, every other kid or all, you know, everybody's doing this. It's the way of the future, in other words. So they have to be using it and get used to it and learn from it, and they'll be better for it. But I don't know if I agree with that.
Some research shows that this is the unhappiest generation, partly because they keep trying to get emotional needs met through a screen. And they relate to, there's a lot of texting. They're very connected digitally, but their skills at empathy and having conversations and working through differences, those skills are decreasing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, and not to be all doom and gloom about it, I think it's really just, it's still such a new thing. It's only been about 10 years plus around that realm of, you know, smartphones and screens and tablets and all of that, that we've had those growing up in it. And even those of us who didn't grow up in it, but then have accommodated to be the same as those who are growing up in it, like myself, and even, you know, generations older, can get it. I mean, my mom, she's addicted to Facebook, I'm sure. Yeah. I can tell. So, yeah, it's just, I think if there's ever been a need for something, it's really for this, right? For stopping.
Yeah. Well, people talk a lot about it. Digital Sabbath or a tech Shabbat. And to be transparent here, I'm one of those parents who was thrilled to be able to hand my child a phone because he would be quiet for an hour. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're all a little bit addicted, and it takes a little bit of work to say, okay, this day we're off screens and we're going to be available to each other. When I have a habit of being preoccupied with other things. So I love it, though. I love having the family time that we have.
How did you move to, or was this always a part of your stop day, your day off, where your son wasn't on screens for 24 hours?
He came along after, you know, my husband and I had been together for a while. So we we're practicing this mm-hmm. oasis in time. And then when our son came along, it was just including him in.
So at what point did he, I mean, I guess I'm getting at here that you, like many other parents, like myself, again, yeah, feel like, oh, here is a phone that'll keep you occupied yes. for a while.
Yes.
At what point, though, did you put in place the rule for him to have that screen day off?
Oh, from the beginning, there have never right. been screens in our house for this 24 hours from Friday evening till Saturday night.
Very
we
cool.
do occasionally, if we're lost, we'll turn on a cell phone to get GPS. Or if we're running late for someone, we'll text them. But we're also working on our own digital addiction. And it just gives us a day to be without reference to screens at all.
Mm. See, this is that's something that I think I personally need to try to do. I've done, you know, no social media, but that doesn't mean not still looking at a screen, you know?
It's interesting. The quality of life is quite different off a screen. And, you know, some of us can remember what life was like before all of this technology came along. And it was slower. It was more connecting. There was more hanging out with neighbors. But now everyone's busy getting back on social media. So it does slow things down and let us live together just a little bit more.
Talk about your five gateways so that people can start to create or design their own oasis in time.
Sure. The five gateways I learned from talking to all kinds of people who have some kind of 24 hours off. It could be observant Jews, observant Christians. I talked to a number of Seventh-day Adventists, and I will just say research is in. The healthiest people in the country, far and away, longest living at a high level of health, are the Seventh-day Adventists. And people make much of their vegetarian diet, but they are also off screens, off work for a solid 24-hour Sabbath. That's why they're called Seventh-day Adventists. And the first gateway is to protect the time. I say plan, protect, and prepare. Create a little agenda for yourself. Put out your knitting needles if you're going to knit, or the book that you want to read. Plan the time, put it in your calendar, and tell people you're going to be off a screen or off your phone. And you decide what you want to do digitally and experiment. So step one is plan, protect, and prepare. Gateway two is begin and end. So you're going to name your beginning time and stick to it, because that means that next one more thing syndrome won't get you. You commit to the beginning and you name your end time. And the end time is as important as the beginning time, because if you let this sort of peter out, you're not sure, is it my oasis time? Am I back at work? You won't do it again. Psychologically, you need that bounded time. For beginning, a little ritual. We light candles. Some people take a shower, or if you do yoga, maybe it's a yoga posture, or consciously close your computer. Put your phone in a cell phone sleeping bag. Begin with a ritual that signals to you that you're in your time oasis, and end with a different one. Maybe you'll run around the block or put on your favorite work clothes or whatever it is you're getting back to work. Number three is disconnect to connect. I highly recommend being off all screens, but the idea is to disconnect not just from screens, but from your work, your working mind, your doing the next thing. So write down your projects that you don't want to think about and put it away, put it in a folder, an envelope to connect. And connecting is with yourself first. Maybe you'll do a body scan. How are you feeling? Are you thirsty or hungry? Are you joyous or sad? You do a body scan to discover how are you. We often don't do that. We don't know how we are. Connect with someone nearby, someone that you're with, and then connect with what is really most important to you. And as I said, some people connect with God or their higher power. They pray. They turn towards awe. They turn towards reverence. Fourth gateway is slow down to savor. And as we slow down, our mind shifts to pay attention to what's around us. And slowing down could mean slowing down our walking pace, our talking pace, our eating, slowing down. So now we can notice the present moment. Where are we? And what's beautiful about it? What if everything seems like you're in a concrete jungle, look up at the sky. It's remarkable. And then the fifth gateway is let go of achieving to rest, reflect, and play. We are primates. We are born to play and be playful. We learned that some of the greatest ideas in science, in invention, in technology come when people are playing around. So that last, the fifth step, let go of trying to achieve and let the life force come through you. Those are the five gateways.
Awesome. As I was listening, I couldn't help but think when you said the words play, that I think when people start to hear people talk about stopping or resting, that they don't fully understand, or they go into this, okay, slowing down, the stopping doesn't mean not moving, doesn't mean not moving your body. It doesn't mean, right, you know, going out and playing tackle football with a bunch of friends, because one, that's stopping the working. Two, that's connecting with others. And three, honestly, it's probably doing more physical activity, which is good for you, than you've maybe done through the week.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's fun. And it's good, healthy, exuberant fun. And many of us just don't have much of that. And as fun as little kids are, sometimes we parents forget to have fun with our younger ones.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and that's right on my mind today, as my youngest is turning 6 and he's this rambunctious boy. And I try to keep up with him, and I used to be his same way. And, you know, over time, just kind of slowed down in the wrong way, you know?
Well, happy birthday to him, and may he have a beautiful day, and you too, along with him.
Yeah, he will, and I will too. Marilyn, it's been great talking with you. I really think that people are going to benefit from your book. How can we point people to this? Where is the best place for people to pick this up and start to dig a little deeper?
They can pick it up in bookstores, on Amazon. And one thing they'll find in it is I have 3 chapters on productivity, how to be more productive during the week so that you can have your oasis in time. They can find the book at marilynpaul.com. That's my website. If they go to my website, they can download. I have a book, an e-booklet there on how to start, get like quick start guide to a slow time. And the book is full of realistic, down-to-earth advice on how to make this happen. There will be obstacles. How do you design your time? How do you get support? How do you get over if the idea of a religious Sabbath is a struggle, let go of the religious part. If you are religious, you may have been saying, oh, I really want a Sabbath. This book will have everything you need in it to make that happen.
Awesome. Yeah. And so I'll make sure to link up all of what you just mentioned in the show notes for this episode for everybody to be able to find quickly and easily. Marilyn, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's been great to talk with you.
So where are you with this topic in your life? I'm curious to find out. Myself, I am at a place where I am trying to take more space and time for myself on the weekend. Sometimes it's just really hard. In fact, I've touched on this in the past, and one of the things that you can start to do is just try to find an hour on the weekend where you're purposely recharging. And maybe just, again, like strength training, you're not going to do a full day all at once. You're not going to step outside and run that marathon instantly. But you can get there by starting off where you already are and building up your strength and endurance. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to share it. Head on over to beyondthetodolist.com/195 and hit share. There's probably somebody you're thinking of that as you were listening to this, you said, you know, I think they need to hear this episode too. Hit share, share it with them, let them know about this podcast, especially this episode. I'd like to say thank you again to support from ZipRecruiter. Again, you can try ZipRecruiter free for 30 days to find the next great hire for your business, no matter what size, at ZipRecruiter.com/beyond. And don't forget FreshBooks. Stay productive, stay organized, and get paid quickly with their online accounting software. You know you need this. You hear about it all the time. Head on over to FreshBooks.com/TODO, and in the How Did You Hear About Us section, enter Beyond the To-Do List. Grab that free trial. It's going to pay for itself, especially since it starts off as free. Duh. Thanks again to FreshBooks for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx.